or that we might be different than when we walk in the doors this morning. That you would show us that there's more to this faith than just 1 hour a week. Now, Lord, I pray that you would minister to us through your word and that you would enlighten us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I started this sermon, Kathy says, "What are you going to do it on?" I said, "Well, it's a week before Christmas." "Oh, that's cheating." I said, "No, it's not cheating, because I'm going to keep a secret of exactly what it's about. We are going to talk about Christmas, but probably not the way that you think we will talk about it. We're going to go back in time to the crazy events that took place leading up to Jesus' birth. And so to do that, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, 15 57 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 26. Now, Elizabeth has become pregnant with John the Baptist. And so when this verse starts, it says in the sixth month. Well, that was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So in that sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to see her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. You know, in this, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty wild. I mean, to think about the things that are taking place right now. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist in her sixth month, and Gabriel comes to Mary to tell her she would be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. That's not crazy enough. There's more to it. You know, there's some really interesting things that as you begin to study and think outside the box. You know, most of us, we read this and we think, "Oh yeah, great, Mary, virgin, got pregnant, had the Son of God, Jesus, all is good." But it's not quite that simple. Because the questions that rise up in my mind, and it is a strange mind, I must admit, is why Mary? Why couldn't it be Joan or June or Sally or Kathy or somebody, you know? Why Mary? Why did God choose Mary? What makes her so special? God chose her for some reasons. You know, first of all, there's the genealogy. And, you know, Mary comes from the line of Aaron, and so she's the tribe of Levi and the priestly tribe. And then Joseph comes from the tribe of David, and so he was in that kind of thing, and it even mentions that. So we have that. But wait a minute, though. Isn't there anybody else that could have fit that criteria? And certainly there were others. So why did God choose Mary? And, you know, she accepted it too. It's interesting because, you know, the angel kind of said, you found favor with God. Did God know that Mary would accept it? I mean, Mary could have said, whoa, hold on there, buddy. I don't care who you call yourself, but I'm not going through this. You know, because she's a virgin still. She's not married yet. And, you know, she's going to have a baby. You know, think of the complications. Back then, you get stoned to death for that. They don't ask questions about, you know, well, where did the baby come from? They just pick up stones and put you to death. So, Mary accepts. God knew, of course, that she would accept it. But the question remains, why Mary? Well, I want you to look at several things in Mary's life. Mary's life was prepared. You know, she probably was about 14, maybe 15 years old. It's a pretty young girl having a child. But that was really the time period that women got married. They didn't wait until 18, 19, 20 years old. They usually got married young. So Mary's life was prepared, and it was prepared in a specific way. She would not have been able to say, out of verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said, if she didn't have some kind of spiritual maturity in her. If she hadn't been prepared and given a look at God's plan and known something. I mean, let's face it, up until now, she didn't know she was going to have the Son of God. So what did she do? Why did she have the attitude that she had? You know, well, we get a little bit of a picture from what the angel said. He said that she was favored. You found favor with God. Why is that? Well, I want you to turn to 46, verses 46 and 55, to see that answer. 46. Now, this is when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. The baby inside Elizabeth leaps when it sees or notices that Jesus is nearby. That's another strange thing that happens. But verse 46, Mary, she goes into a poem, a song, whatever you want to call it, and she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, I won't read the rest of it, but the thing is that what you get the impression of is this girl is worshiping God. She knows God. She has sent his presence in her life, probably for her entire life, and she didn't know what God had planned for her. She didn't know that she was going to have a baby out of wedlock by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is just insanity, and yet Mary had been prepared spiritually to accept the thing that God has chosen her for. So here's what this tells me. God will choose you too to do great things. But what are you going to do to prepare for it? You see, there is some preparation involved. God called me to be a pastor, but he didn't call me to be the pastor without preparing me ahead of time. There were things that I went through, the things that you go through. Mary didn't speak the way she spoke if she had no understanding of God and his power. You know, God wants us to be witnesses. The scripture tells us that. Matthew tells us, go and be witnesses throughout the world. But if you don't know anything about the Bible, if you don't have a strong relationship with Jesus, if your prayer life is little or nothing, how can you be witnesses for him? You see, God has a plan
for us.
I want you to go there, actually, in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 29, 1191 in the Pew Bibles, 1191 in the Pew Bibles, Jeremiah 29. And you're probably familiar with this scripture, but probably not in the way that I'm going to share it with you. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. Now, in this particular, the backup, the precursor to this scripture, verse 20 or chapter 29, verse 11, is that Israel's been in captivity, Babylonian captivity, to be exact. This is, you know, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They're in the Babylonian captivity. Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. Why? Because he won't worship the golden idol and pray only to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same basic thing. Won't bow to the idol, won't worship the king, and they're thrown in the fiery furnace. You know the outcomes. Everything was great. But the situation is not so for all the Israelites. All the Israelites are in slavery. They're told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. They're fed what they want to feed them. They could have good masters, bad masters. It could be all kinds of terrible or good things going on in this Babylonian captivity, in this exile. Now, notice in verse 10, it says, the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise and bring you back to this place. In other words, after 70 years, he'll bring them back to Israel. Not before, not after, 70 years. He's going to bring them back. So the people of Israel might be in their 45th year and they're like, we got to wait? But Lord, we're worshiping you now. We're sorry for what we did. And the Lord says, 70 years. Now 70 years, verse 11 comes into play. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. So there was a certain plan that was in place. And this plan meant that the people of Israel must go through 70 years of exile. That was the plan. But the plan included, I'm not here to put you down and to destroy you. I'm here to give you a future. I've got a plan for you. And that's exactly what God is saying for us. He said, I've got a plan for you. You don't know the plan because it's still your future. But I've got a plan for you, and I want to tell you, it's a plan that's to prosper you, to make things great, to do things so that God's name is exalted. Now, you might be going through some trials. You might go through some testing. In fact, I'm going to say that you will go through some trials and you will go through some testing. You will be shaken. You will be pushed. You will be put to the test until you come to what you feel is your breaking point. But God has a plan for you. And as you study and as you draw closer to Him, His plan will become more clear. Or He may just come out and say, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be something that will glorify Him. You may not understand why, but when He calls, will your answer be like Mary? I'm the Lord's servant. I'm ready. Let's do it. What is God preparing you for? He's not going to call until you're ready. You know, he's not going to call you when your life is a mess. He's not going to call you when you're still focused on yourself. He's going to call you when he knows you're ready. So the challenge is, what will you do to prepare? Will you do the things necessary to prepare? Paul had something to say about that. Let's this last scripture here in 1 Corinthians 17:41 in your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 17:41 in the pew Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 24. Paul says it this way. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know, we know what people go through. The Packers, you know, they're going to, I guess they're playing today. See a few people wearing Packer things, you know. And they've actually been playing pretty good lately. But the Packers, you know, they don't go in the locker room and sit in easy chairs and eat chocolates and fudge and cookies and say, all right, it's time to go out on the field, let's go play. Now, they might have looked like that a few weeks ago. But when they go to work, which, you know, we call fun and games, when they go to work, they go and they watch films and more films and more films about the team they're going to play. And they dissect it and they reverse it and forward it and back and forth. And they watch all the films. And then they go in the weight room and they work out, work out, work out. And you've seen the muscles on some of those guys. They're as big as my leg muscle. And they go like this and it's like they could pick up, you know, your car. They're huge and they're fast. And they run and they run. When we were in football, the coach made us run and run and run. We hated him because he made us run and run and run and run. But then when we got out on the field, we didn't run out of gas. We had the endurance. We had the strength. And that's what the Packers and anyone who wants to succeed in sports will push themselves to the limit and then push a little past it. So that you increase in strength. You increase in stamina. And in the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. Do we sit on the easy chair, watch TV all the time, and never pick up the Bible? Never pray? We never, you know, we go to church when it's convenient. We go to Bible study when it works out. You know, do we put in the time necessary to, as Paul calls it, running in such a way as not to be disqualified? There's a drive. We have purpose. And so, you know, this life we live in the spiritual realm is not a life of well, let's just kick back and wait until eternity comes. If we're going to be a witness for God, we've got to put in some preparation. If we want to serve Him in some capacity, we got to put in some preparation. Because, yeah, you can sit and do all the things I said and just sit back. And you'll be in heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be there. But God's going to look at you and kind of go, you know, really? That's what you did? You know, I had so much more for you. I had some great things planned for you, but you never prepared. You never took any interest. You know, and I want to do these things through you. I want to make you great, not for you, but for me. And I want people to see that there is more to this life And I want to see more people come to Christ, but some didn't make it because you wouldn't get up and go share with your neighbor. You know, Mary, she was prepared. And when God called, she said, "I'm ready. Let's do it." Just imagine if Mary said, "Nah, I'm not ready." What would happen if Mary wasn't prepared and God looked around and nobody was prepared? And God went, "Well, I guess Jesus won't be born this year." So, there's a choice. We can do something or not. It's up to you. But I really think that you're missing out. You know, I think of those years ago when God said, "Bill, I want you to start preaching." And I went, "Oh, man. You know, such a daunting task to think about. Such a difficult thing to step across that threshold. To give up all the things that are your security. It's a job, and Franz is doing that now, and it's a little scary. You know, step out and give all that up and all that security of knowing that you have this and you have that and it's all set for you. To have your house all ready and, you know, paid for. You know, there was a lot of things I gave up because that was the call. When God calls you, He's not looking for a PhD. He's not looking for somebody who has the right clothes. He's not looking for the person who is out on the street corner preaching either. He's looking for someone who's available and willing, who's prepared with Scripture and knows the Lord. That's what He's looking for. And He will do great things through you when you just say yes. And Lord, I'm ready. You know, as we close with this song, you know, it's "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And as I thought about this song, I picked it just kind of randomly. I was looking at songs and thinking, "Oh yeah, well, you know, We Three Kings, we haven't sung that in a while." And it's hard not to sing all the verses because they have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we're going to do the first, second, and last verses. But as I looked at that, these men gave up. They dropped everything because they saw that star in the east. But they were prepared too. They were prepared for all the prophecies, and they were looking and seeking. And then that star appeared, and they knew it was something. And they looked through the Scriptures, they looked through the different books and the prophecies, and they found out what it was. And you know what? They threw things together. They prepared for the long travel that they had, and they traveled for months to get to see the baby. Amazing. I wonder how willing we would be if we saw something and knew it was something special. Would we be willing to drop things and go to see it? "But I got this, and I got that, and I got, you know, and I'm just so busy, and I got, you know," well, maybe you're too busy. So, I know I'm guilty of it too. And during Christmas time, you get so busy, you don't even have a chance to sit down and think about these things. But I challenge all of us, me included, to take some time out and really think about this Christmas season, what it really means, where we are with God and Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and sing this song together.